It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, if you haven't seen your husband in weeks, and then he takes you to our favorite bar to drink champagne, you certainly don't want anyone joining the party. Especially if they have just been murdered. Of course, it makes a difference if your husband happens to be a private detective. Yes, this is Gail Collins speaking. And I'll be back in a minute to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
And what have you called this story, Mrs. Collins?
Well, Mr. Hull, I've called it The Case of the Pink Elephant.
Is that so? And where did you see this pink elephant of yours, Gail?
Oh, that's easy, Mort. Right here in San Francisco.
After a night out, I presume.
It was at a night out. You see, I hadn't seen Greg for two whole miserable, lonesome weeks. So when he came home, we thought we'd celebrate. There's a cute little cocktail lounge near Greg's office called The Pink Elephant. It was a pet spot of ours, especially because our pal, Sonny Peters, could be found there every night playing the piano, playing that fabulous, lazy blues of his. So Greg and I were at The Pink Elephant. We didn't find out about it until later, but while we were having our first cocktail, a little discussion was taking place in the office of a friend of ours, Guy McInnes, managing editor of The Register. Guy was at his desk when he looked up and saw he had a visitor.
Hiya, Guy boy. I haven't seen you in a long time. I thought you'd just never forgive me if I didn't drop in and say hello.
I could have struggled along without it, Lenny.
You mind if I close the door? It's more cozy. Especially for two old pals like you and me.
Go ahead, close it. Then speak your little piece, whatever it is, and blow.
How you doing these days, Guy? Still the fearless newspaper man? Saving humanity and, by a strange coincidence, running up the circulation of the paper at the same time?
Now, don't get all hopped up, Lenny. You just come out of jail. Everybody feels the way you do when they first get out. Now, take it easy. You'll flip.
I ain't hopped up. It's very simple.
What is?
You sent me to the clink for 8 years, so...
Yeah? So what?
I'm gonna blow your head off. That's nice and simple, isn't it? Oh, I'm not gonna do it now, Guy. I'm not that crazy. I'm gonna do it when I feel like it. Maybe tonight. Maybe next week. Next month. Next year. I want you to sweat a while. You can't have the cups with you forever, Guy. There'll be a minute, a day, a spot. I'll get a break. Call the cops if you want. Tell them about the threat. How long will they protect you? And how well?
While Guy was facing Lenny, Greg and I were at our regular table at the Pink Elephant. It was a small back room reserved for the elephant's extra special guest. But the door was open, so we could hear Sonny Peters at the piano. Greg?
Yes, darling?
Greg, you were in New York for 2 weeks on a case, and you still haven't told me the most important part of it.
Hmm? What did I do then?
Were there any luscious blonde suspects?
Oh, sure. And a sensational brunette? And a redhead?
And you just concentrated on the case?
Now, look, didn't you tell me you couldn't come to New York with me because an old school chum was getting married?
That was the truth.
It takes just a few minutes to get married. You still had 13 days, 23 hours, and 55 minutes to yourself. And what did you do? Sit home and read the Encyclopedia Britannica?
Absolutely. I started with the first volume, A to Ost, whizzed through that. When I was well in the middle of the second volume, that's Ost to Calga, I got your why you were coming home. Listen, Greg. It's like Shangri-La, isn't it?
Mm.
After these two impossible weeks without you, we're together again. And Sonny's providing the perfect background music.
We've been kind of rude to Sonny, darling. We've been so busy with each other, we haven't said hello to him.
You're right, Greg. Sonny!
Hiya, Gail. Hiya, Greg.
Oh, let's talk to him. Maybe he'll play a few requests.
Sure. Come on over.
Sonny, how about Stardust?
Okay.
Wish I could play.
I can.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
You never told me. Well, sit down here.
She's not very good, Sonny.
I'm merely terrific, that's all.
Go ahead, Gail. I'd like to hear you.
Oh, must you, darling?
I must. My public demands it.
All right. Now that the amateur hour is over, let's hear Sonny again.
What's the difference, Greg? Let her go on playing. Everybody's gone home anyway. Go on, Gail.
Sonny, I'm glad you appreciate great talent when you hear it. My husband is an illiterate, tasteless oaf who doesn't know hot piano playing when he hears it.
Okay, Gail. Now, if you don't quit, I'm going to pick you up bodily and carry you away from that piano.
Why not let her have some fun? Everybody likes to fool around at the piano.
Hey, I didn't know you could play, Mrs. Collins.
Hi, Molly. Oh, please don't interrupt me. I'm inspired tonight.
Guy with you, Molly?
No. He's still at the paper. He told me to meet him here, but I guess he's stuck. I'm going home. Sonny, if Guy comes in later, ask him to call me in the morning, will you?
If you want to give him a message, give it to him yourself.
Well, what's burning you up? I just asked a favor.
I'll tell Guy, Molly.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Oh, you take over the piano, Sonny. I've given my all and I'm exhausted.
Okay, Mrs. Collins.
What's wrong, Sonny? You and Molly have another scrap?
No, just can't stand that girl, that's all. You know, Mrs. Collins, first time she came in here, she was a very sweet kid. That was a couple of years ago. Tonight she breezed in, socked away five double scotches, dresses like a tramp, smears that junk on her face, wisecracks with everybody.
Maybe she's just growing up. Lots of young girls try to be glamorous when they're her age, and they just succeed in being foolish.
Well, how old is she anyway?
20.
20, huh? And Gail's right. That accounts for it.
Greg.
It's Guy McInnes.
Guy! Oh, you missed my recital at the piano.
Put the newspaper to bed, Guy? Imani was just
here. Never mind that. Please, come over here to this corner. I've got to talk to you right away. Something's happened.
Sure. Excuse us, honey.
Go right ahead, Mr. C.
What is it, Guy?
Lenny Kistos is in town. Just got out of jail. Came to my office. He said he's going to kill me.
Guy was deadly pale. He kept mopping his brow with his handkerchief. I had to hold a match for him. He couldn't light his own cigarettes because his hands were trembling so much. I thought he'd collapse. We sat at the table in the back room, and he told us the whole story of how Lenny had threatened to murder him.
What did he mean by saying you sent him to prison?
It's a neurotic exaggeration on his part. I didn't do it directly at all. I wrote a series of exposures for the paper about Lenny and his mob. He had big money he was trying to expand. Dewey owned half a dozen records in the States, and he was trying to set up a kind of cartel internationally. He had ties with some of the biggest black marketeers and phonies in Europe and South America. He had a finger in a fake uranium promotion in Canada. He had men working for him in Shanghai, Cairo, Macao. And the DA's office read my article. The public got hopped up. There was pressure to crack down on Lenny, so they did. Well, he ended up behind bars.
But you were just doing your job. You didn't double-cross him or prosecute him. Lots of papers write about racketeers.
That isn't the way Lenny looks at it. He blames the whole thing on me personally. He's got nothing against the DA or the judge. Oh, no, it's just me. I'm the patsy. He wasn't just talking either. He'll do it, or one of his hoods will. One of these mornings, he'll do it, Greg. Can you help me? You've got to. You've got to think of something.
The first thing to do is to calm down.
But I can't stop thinking about it. I won't be able to work. I won't be able to sleep tonight.
Telephone for you, Mr. McInnes.
It's Lenny. To ride me again, I'll bet. The office knows I'm here. They might have told him.
Don't get your head up, Mr. McInnes. It isn't Lenny. It's just your office.
Huh? Oh, Thanks, Sonny. Pardon me, Greg. Gail, I'll be right back.
Sure.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Now, careful. Don't trip out here, Mr. McInnes. Boss turned out most of the lights since everybody's gone.
Yeah, I'll be careful, Sonny.
Phone booth's in the far corner.
Yes, I know. Hey, do you know Lenny Kestos when you see him?
Lenny Kestos, yeah. I think I'd remember him. I'll tell you if I see him around.
He won't have to tell you anything, Guy.
Lenny, I told you you'd get awful nervous, Guy.
Get out of here, Lenny. I told Greg Collins about you threatening me. If anything happens to me, you're the first guy they'll pick up. You're a two-time loser. Bad record. They'll nail you for it in a minute. You'll get the chair, you screwball.
Sure. But they'll have to find me first. That might be awful tough. And you wouldn't know the difference. You'll be in a cop.
Cut out that kind of talk, Lenny, and beat it.
Easy, Guy. You'll blow your stack.
I can't stand it, Lenny. I can't.
Guy, what the...
Greg, is Guy all right? What was that?
Guy's all right, Gail. Lenny's dead.
And sure enough, he was. On the floor. Dead. But keep your ears pinned, friends. I'll be back in a minute with more of our story. Lenny Kestos' body was sprawled on the floor of the Pink Elephant. I was quite horrified and quite surprised at the turn of events. Guy was babbling hysterically to Greg, who kept walking around, touching this and that, thinking.
I didn't kill him, Greg. Say, help me. I didn't kill him.
I don't see a gun around here. What did you say happened?
I was standing here, talking to Lenny. Suddenly I heard shots and Lenny fell down.
Did you see what happened, Sonny?
No, sir.
Neither did we. The door to that back room was closed.
I was sitting at the piano playing it. Didn't you hear me in the other room?
Yes, we did.
Well, I heard an argument between Mr. McInnes and Lenny, and then I heard the shots.
What direction did they come from?
Oh, I couldn't say. I was so surprised and scared. I don't know.
Well, the front door isn't locked. Could the shots have come from the street?
Yeah, sure, yeah. I can't say exactly where they came from.
Molly lived far from here. Anybody know?
No, not far, Greg.
Which way were you facing, Guy? Toward the street?
No, toward the telephone booth. It was very dark. All I could make out was Lenny standing there. I tell you, I didn't do it, Greg.
It isn't going to be so easy to sell that story to the police, though, Guy. Who did kill Lenny? The little man who wasn't there? Well, Lenny had quite a feud going on between you. He's lying there dead. You're standing in front of him. How does that look to you?
I know, Greg. I know all about it.
Five will get you 10 any jury in the world puts the rap on you.
Greg, you're a detective. There must be something you can do. Just something to help me.
I'm going to do it right now.
What is it?
I'm going to call the police.
The police got nowhere. They couldn't find the gun. They shot pictures, made maps, took us all to headquarters for questioning. Finally, let everybody go. A shot lawyer from the register got Guy out on bail. Guy's reputation and pull were more than powerful enough to spring him for a while. Then, at the Pink Elephant one night, Greg and I were at our table with Molly, Guy's girlfriend. Sonny Peters had suddenly stopped playing.
What's on your mind, Sonny?
I hate to see kids like Molly in these joints at all hours.
Now, Sonny, take it easy. Molly's a decent, bright girl. She can handle herself. Why don't you start lecturing the Pink Elephant's clientele on the subject of Mara?
Okay, Mr. Collins. I just sound off about it now and then.
Oh, come on, Sonny, knock it off. You're an old nuisance sometimes, you know.
Kids didn't act this way back in my time. I knew you when you were a decent kid. I know what's happened to you.
I like what's happened to me. I think I'm doing very nicely.
Let's go outside, Gail. Get some fresh air. Leave these two to their argument. Excuse us, Molly, Sonny. See you later.
Lay off me, will you? I've had enough of you.
Copy of your own gorge.
Go on, all the time.
Walk fast again. I want to get out of here.
Where are we going?
I have only one suspect, Guy McInnes. I haven't really done a good job on him. Now I'm going to give him a fancy workout.
Greg and I hopped a cab to the office of the register. It was deserted at 3 a.m., being an afternoon paper. We sneaked past the night watchman and tiptoed down the hall and into the newsroom.
Quietly, Gail, quietly.
What are you doing, Greg? You're looking for the gun that killed Lenny.
Don't heckle me. Be quiet. Light a match.
Hurry, Greg. The watchman may come around.
These are interesting. These papers clear up a little something about Guy I wasn't too sure of.
What are they?
That cartel of Lenny Kistos, the one Guy was supposed to have broken up for the sake of crusading journalism or what have you, seems to have been reorganized. Looks like Guy runs it himself.
Guy took over Lenny's racket?
With minor variations. That's why he exposed Lenny, I guess. He wanted the money for himself. Wanted Lenny out of the way.
No wonder Lenny hated him. And I always thought Guy was a darling.
Just a second. Looks like Guy didn't keep the whole deal to himself. Here's a piece of paper signed by Molly. I'll bet he gave her some stock in one of those phony corporations the boys have. She said, "I'm doing very nicely. She dresses expensively, lots of jewelry. How about a perfume?"
Cost a fortune.
That's what Guy must have done.
She said that smart apple was apparently innocent. Oh! Ow! My old match. What kind of it are you without a flashlight?
Not my own. My last time I have to work on it. Might be even more papers in here and pigeonholes. These old fashioned desks.
I'll roll the top back. I'll never let it be said that Mother's little helper. Greg! Look!
What is it?
On the floor. Dripping down from inside here. That blood.
Better let me roll back this stuff. Stand away.
Oh. Guy. Is he dead?
Wait. Yeah. Someone took a crappy spike.
Oh, awful, Greg. I feel dizzy.
Steady, darling. Just sit down for a moment. Then they're going back to the Pink Elephant.
Huh?
And remember, when we get there, don't be grim. Just your usual gay self, chum. Everything depends on our getting away with this as though nothing in the world had ever happened.
I didn't know what Greg had in mind, but I knew he was on the trail of the killer. So don't leave us, folks. In just a minute, we'll bring you the climax of the case.
Enjoy your stroll, Mr. Carlin.
Very refreshing, Molly. The smoke in these places and the liquor fumes bother me.
My boy spent too much time in those western prairies, you know. Big outdoors man. Feels all confined with us city folk.
You haven't seen Guy anywhere, have you?
No.
I don't know what's happened. He said he'd be here at 2:30. It's almost sunrise.
Well, don't fret, Molly. Just relax and listen to Sonny. That Sonny's got to teach me to play like that.
Oh, I will, Mrs. Collins. Anytime.
All I know is that one crummy tune. Anyone want to hear it?
There she goes. The fearless type.
Mind if I use your piano, Sonny?
Please, Mrs. Collins, it makes me nervous when people touch my piano. Just a whim of mine, if you don't mind.
Okay, Sonny, I know how you feel. It's tuned just the way you like it, sort of like your own baby. I won't bother you.
Go on, Gail, play that crummy tune.
Did I hear you correctly?
Yes, I want you to play for us right now. Go ahead.
But Mr. Collins...
Sonny just told you, Greg...
I said play the piano this minute, Gail. Get away from the piano, Sonny. Let my wife play it. You heard me. Everybody heard me.
Are you serious, Greg? What for? What's got into you?
I've never been more serious in my life. There's nothing I want to see so much as you sitting at that piano, and don't lose any time.
Gosh, everybody's gone screwy tonight.
Mr. Collins, I just...
Just keep playing the piano right now, Sonny. And I'll shove you away from there and put her on that piano stool myself.
Okay. You asked for it. Ladies and gentlemen, a special arrangement of I'm in the Mood for Love by Gail Collins. At the request of my silly husband who thinks it's entertaining. Hey, you got a cigarette or something stuck in the back of the piano, Sonny? Sonny, I said it.
Go ahead, Sonny. Go back to the piano and take out the gun.
Gun?
All right, Mr. Collins. As you say. Here it is.
I'll take it.
But Greg, what gun is that?
It's Sonny's. It's the one he used to kill Lenny Kestas, right, Sonny? Well, come on, Sonny.
Okay. Yes. It's the gun I used to kill Lenny.
The gun you used?
Sonny, you killed...
We found Guy's body, Sonny, where you left it, inside the roll-top desk.
Guy's body? Is Guy dead? Is Guy dead?
Yeah. We found him stabbed to death a few minutes ago.
No. No, I won't believe it. Oh, God.
Now, take it easy, Molly. Easy, child.
I think I got the whole picture, Sonny. Except for why you did this. The motivation's been puzzling me.
Somebody had to pay Guy off for what he did to my Molly.
Your Molly?
You'd have done it, Mrs. Collins, if she were your daughter.
Oh, honey, we never knew that...
She wanted me to keep it quiet.
I was ashamed, Mr. Collins. I didn't want anyone to know my father played the piano in a barroom.
When you see a man take your own daughter and change her from the girl you loved and raised and worked for, the girl who's your whole life, when that man turns you into a piece of cheap trash, you fear your own life isn't worth much. If you can get rid of him and straighten her out, oh, you wouldn't listen, Molly. You just wouldn't listen to me, child. It got worse and worse. It was driving me crazy.
I know. But was it right? You always told me to play percentages. And what have you won now? What have we got now, you and I?
Greg turned Sonny over to the police, although he wasn't too happy about it. It was sunrise when Greg and I walked slowly home through the streets of San Francisco. Deserted, except for the very distant sound down at the waterfront of the fishing boats plying back and forth on the bay.
Okay, Gail. I know what bothers you.
What bothers me, pal, is how you knew the gun was in the piano.
The first time you tried to play Sonny's piano, he was not only happy to let you do it, but he said he liked having anyone play it. When we came back from the register office, he suddenly wouldn't let you touch it. I had to drag him away from it. Made me curious. I began thinking. What would be wrong with a piano? A cigarette or some sheet music stuck in the keys? No, he wouldn't raise a dickens about that. What's the one important clue that's been missing? The gun, pal, the gun. So I insisted you play. Sonny knew what part of the strings in back of the piano were covered by the gun. You didn't. He knew which keys to avoid. He was afraid you'd strike the wrong one.
But why did Sonny kill Lenny, not Guy?
Sonny must have had the gun with him for weeks, planning to murder Guy. That night, when we were in the back room with the door closed and the pink elephant was empty, Sonny had his chance. But he got smart very quickly. He'd overheard the feud between Lenny and Guy, so he decided to switch and kill Lenny. That way, Guy would get the rap and nobody would ever suspect that friendly little piano player in the corner. Even if they found out he was Molly's father. Murder once removed, we caught it in the trade, pal.
And the actual shooting?
That was done by playing the piano with one hand. That's safe. Lots of special jazz written for left hand only. With his right, he must have shot Lenny when the two men had their backs to him. I suppose Guy finally guessed what had happened. And that's why Sonny had to get rid of Guy, too, at the newspaper office last night.
Greg?
Yes, darling?
About that other case. The one you finished in New York before we went to the Pink Elephant. The one you handled alone. Do you still swear you weren't at all interested in the three suspects? The blonde, the brunette, and the redhead?
I swear.
Well, that's why I love you, Greg.
Of course that's why.
I love you because you're such a wonderful, charming, brilliant, handsome, awful liar. Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, Gert and I hope you enjoyed our adventure, The Pink Elephant. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder. Where there is crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.